Human beings seem to have an innate fascination with titles. And if we've ever worked in an office space, we know that that's true. People seem to hunger after titles. And even I have a nameplate on my desk, although it was a gift from my daughter, so it has to be there. But there's something about us as human beings that kind of cries out for titles. When I was in second grade, probably my first real friend I had in elementary school was a boy named Greg. And Greg had a fascination with the United States Army in second grade. And it was a very deep fascination. Well, Greg decided one day that everybody in my second grade class should be given a military rank and appropriate title to go with it. Now, since I was Greg's friend, I was pretty sure I would get a decent rank. And on that morning, he told me that I was going to be a one-star general. Now, not knowing much about the Army, but knowing that that sounded like a pretty high title, I was ecstatic. I was a one-star general. And then after recess, Greg informed us that he was going to be a five-star general. Well, that instantly caused a war in which everybody wanted a higher rank, but Greg was very quick to inform everyone that there could only be one five-star general. Now, that story about the titles of second graders is kind of funny and it's humorous and it makes us laugh. But when Jesus talks about titles, when Jesus gives himself a title, it's something a little more serious and something for us to pay attention to. You know, there are times when our English translation of the scriptures kind of falls short a little bit. And this morning is one of those mornings. When Jesus says, "I am the gate for the sheep." And in verse 11 that follows the end of our gospel reading today, he says, "I am the good shepherd." But what doesn't come across there is that is a really strong "I am." We use the words "I am" all the time. I am going to the store. I am a little sleepy this morning. But the words that are used there are in all caps. So when Jesus says, "I am," he's saying, "I am to the exclusion of everyone else. I am in all caps." And so Jesus gives himself some titles. "I am the way, the truth, and the life. I am the bread of life. I am the light of the world." And in today's gospel, "I am the gate for the sheep." And in verse 11, "I am the good shepherd." What does that actually mean to us? You know, we live in a time and a place where shepherds aren't a very common thing to run across here in the suburbs of Pittsburgh. And having lived in Pittsburgh on and off over the years, I've run into folks that have spent all their time in the city. For instance, Jolene grew up on the South Side Slopes, and there's not a whole lot of pasture land in the South Side Slopes. Although you can ask her, I believe she had an uncle who had a baboon as a pet in the South Side. So times change. But for the most part, if you grow up in the city, that's not a part of your reality. And I've had people that have grown up in the city, when they find out that I grew up in northern Butler County, ask me questions that you would expect city people to ask. I've been asked lots of times, "When you were growing up, did you have a cow?" I did not have a cow. I didn't have sheep. I knew where some cows lived. I could probably point them out to you. But in spite of the fact of growing up in the country even, I had never seen a cow or a sheep up close, and actually had never met a shepherd. It's just not a part of our way of life. I had a German shepherd growing up, and he was a great dog, but that's the closest thing I ever got to a shepherd. And that's probably the closest thing to many of us here today have come to a shepherd. Now, there was a British colonial administrator. His name was H.R.P. Dixon. And in the 1920s through the 1940s, he was colonial administrator of the British colonies in the Middle East. And I'll have you note that Dixon was a lieutenant colonel, not a one-star general like me, so I outranked him. But he wasn't your stereotypical sort of colonial figure. I mean, I think we all sort of have this stereotype in our minds of the British colonial individual with sort of the safari hat and the little pencil mustache, holding a cane and bossing people around, with little understanding of local people or their cultures. Dixon really didn't follow that stereotype at all. In fact, he really has an interesting story. He was born in Beirut, Lebanon. His dad was a diplomat, and so he wasn't even born in the British Isles at all. Born in Beirut as an infant, his mother was unable to feed him. And in an era before the ready availability of formula and medical advances that we have, not being able to be fed as a newborn was a very, very dangerous situation to be in. Through some contacts and through some talking, they found someone who was willing to nurse the baby Lieutenant Colonel Dixon. And she was a tribeswoman from one of the local Bedouin tribes, nomadic shepherds who were very familiar with what shepherds were all about. Later on, Dixon goes on to write some books about the local culture and is fascinated by his sort of adopted family, these tribes of shepherds that wandered the Middle East. He had a blood tie to them because he was nursed by one of their members. So according to their tribal traditions, from that point on, he was considered one of them. And it allowed him to have some access to their culture that he wouldn't have had otherwise. He tells a story in one of his books about following one of these local shepherds in the Middle East around for his daily activities. And this particular shepherd was looking over 50 mother sheep who had little lambs running around all in the midst of them. One evening after the sun had set, Dixon was amazed to watch this scene play out, where the shepherd called each one of those mother sheep by name. White Patch, Crooked Ear, Long Nose, Short Tail. He had a name for each and every one of those 50 sheep. And as the sun was going down, each of those sheep responded to the shepherd's voice and their own name, almost like calling a dog in our culture. It was a very close relationship, and that just astounded Dixon as he watched this all play out. He was astounded by that, but he was utterly amazed by what happened next. The sun had set completely. It was dark. And the shepherd, by listening to the sounds of the baby lambs crying, was able to match each infant lamb with the mother that it belonged to by sound alone. Not only did this shepherd know the names of each of his sheep, he also, by sound, knew the sound of each of the baby lambs' cries and which mother each of those baby lambs belonged to. And he matched them up one by one to make it through the night. Now that, my friends, is a good shepherd. Those are some skills that really boggle the mind, and his connection to them was so intimate. He was a good shepherd, but that's a good shepherd in lowercase letters. Today we reflect on Jesus, the Good Shepherd, in all caps. And that's really, really good news for all of us here this morning. You know, we've had a lot of good discussions in Bible study over the last few months. And we had one discussion, I think, a few months ago, where we were talking about the idea of salvation and different denominations' ideas of what that was all about. And we got into a discussion about sort of the biblical fundamentalist view of proclaiming Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, and that somehow would be sufficient to work everything out for you. And we talked about that and prayed about that a little and sort of examined how that viewpoint might differ a little bit from our own as Episcopalians. But I really do think that they did get something right. Now, maybe it's arrogance on my part, but I really don't like taking the mystery of God's salvation and boiling it down to a soundbite like that. But I really think they got a piece of it on the money, and that piece of it is this. Salvation is personal. It is absolutely personal. It's personal for Jesus, and it's personal for us. It's not this generic kind of relationship, and we have to kind of get ourselves away from this idea that Jesus died on the cross for the sins of humanity. well, yeah, that's true. And that'd probably be a good line in a theology book. But it's really important for us in our journey to come to grips with the fact that Jesus, the Good Shepherd, died for you. He died for you by name, personally, intensely personal. Out of all of the billions of souls that have ever lived and the billions that may be yet to come, Jesus Christ knows your name, just like that shepherd in the fields knew the name of each one of his sheep. He knows you. He knows where you've been, and he knows where you're going. That's good news for us because we have no reason to be afraid. It doesn't matter what darkness we may find ourselves in, what challenges might face us. We don't have to be afraid of the dark anymore because we have a shepherd who knows us. He knows our names and he knows the sounds of our cries when we find ourselves in the middle of the night. My encouragement to all of us this morning is to really take grips and take consolation and hope from the fact that for Jesus, this whole thing is very personal. He knows each of us by name. He knows the sounds of our cries. He knows exactly where each and every one of us are.